news station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And welcome to A Biblical Response. Here we are Tuesday, the 3rd of June. Can you believe it?
3rd of June.
Time flies. Or tempus fugit, if you know any Latin. That's very little I know that, but it does. Anyway, I'm David Frank, who are kind of moderator, host, contributor here. And we're missing Ann Limhoko. She is having jury duty today. We don't know if she has to serve yet, but she is there in the pool, as it were.
Yes.
And so we wish her well, and we pray that the Lord will guide her, whatever he wants her to do.
She was excited. She wanted to go and do this. I hope she gets chosen.
Well, I hope she does. I hope it's an edgy case, you know, where they've got to deliberate deeply. But we do have here today Keith Masters, and welcome, Keith. Good to see you, buddy.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Always a great pleasure.
Good morning. Good morning to everybody.
And of course, Stephanie Jacobson.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, sir. Welcome to you as well.
Oh, thanks. It's good to be part of this group.
Amen.
The Lord uses us, and we know it's Him because, you know,
Yes, we do.
You know, tell you the story. I've mentioned it before, but real quickly, it's like we get together Monday afternoons on our WhatsApp call, and so everybody's face pops in on the screen of your phone, and we look at each other and say, all right, what are we going to do?
You know, sometimes we pop in. Sometimes I'm at the beach and I don't let you in on my beach time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we hear her voice, but we don't see the shells she's collected or any of the sunburn or anything like that. But
she's very, very tan.
She's very tan, very much so.
But she is there.
That's it. That's my quiet time out there. So
it's a great place to be, really. I love the beach. I need to go there more often myself. But we're going to be touching on some points that have been in past broadcasts, all the stuff in the news that's current, we'll be talking about that. But I'm just going to throw this over to Stephanie, who has promised to get us started.
Yes. Well, this is a tough subject today because it's one that is kind of at the crux of the gospel, and that is deception. Mm-hmm. The deceiver. And how we are deceived at times. And I just felt in my spirit this morning as I was thinking through the program and what we would be bringing to the listeners, felt the Holy Spirit just prompt me to pray. And I feel like I need to start this morning with prayer. So if you would just pray with us this morning. Father, I thank you so much for this moment in time that you have brought us here and in our own journeys, that we would come together in this studio, but our voices would be touching the airwaves, Father, that those that are hearing and listening, that their ears would be open and their hearts would be open to what Holy Spirit is bringing to them, Father. I pray that you would seal them with the promise of the Holy Spirit that you have promised in your word, that you would bring truth and that it would cut through the deception. Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through you. And so, Father, we just ask right now that the deception of the enemy would be dismantled and that he could not formulate deceit and lies with even in our own mouths or our own hearts as we are speaking, but also in those that are listening, Lord, that we would be able to discern today the things that we need to bring. And so, Father, we thank you. Mm-hmm. We thank you and praise you that you are God and we are not. And Amen. That is just a That is something I live every day as I wake up in the morning. I pray, Father, that you would just cover our steps. Thank you, Father, for this day. And we just praise and worship and glorify your name. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, deception. It's everywhere. We see it in everything that all the way from the White House to the church house to the home house to every single place. We have to be aware that there is a deceiver, and there's been a deceiver back from the beginning of time. I believe there was something in the garden that was slithering around trying to make Adam and Eve disbelieve,
right.
Have unbelief, and doesn't take much. It's just a little teeny tiny bit of deception, you know, can make everything go wonky,
right.
Really fast.
And what did the snake ask? What did the snake ask Eve? Did he really say that to you?
Yeah.
Is that what he really
doubt.
Said?
That's,
right?
Doubt is a deception.
Right. And people, you know, and when I say people, me included, right? We get that second voice, or we get that voice in our heads, and then you start scratching your head and saying, okay, did he really say that?
Right.
You know,
back, I was reading this morning, and this was another, that's a great segue into this, because even the people that walked with Jesus were deceived. They were being deceived, not by Jesus. They didn't believe his words. And some of them, he called them his disciples. Now, weren't the 12, but it says that in John, it says, when many of his disciples heard it, and he was talking about, you know, when you eat the bread and my body and my flesh, and they just couldn't understand it because their
right.
eyes weren't open.
Right.
And it said, this is a hard saying, who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, he said, do you take offense of this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the beginning, when Jesus was on the earth, or when he, yeah, so
right.
when he was here, there was deception even coming back at him in that moment. They were seeing the Son of God. I can't imagine. I mean, I'm looking here at Keith and David. I can't imagine looking at the face of Jesus and being deceived, but they were.
Mm-hmm.
And they grumbled. And then that's when Jesus asked his disciples, so, you know, do you want to go as well? Because there were many of his quote-unquote disciples that were following him that turned and left. And that's what it says, that even in the last days that there will be those who are believers that are deceived. They believed that the Messiah was coming, but they didn't have the truth of what they were seeing in front of them at that moment.
Mm, yeah. Isn't it in Acts for chapter 1 where the Jesus is about to ascend, and where it tells us that many were there and they worshiped, but some doubted. And he was right. It was like there, right.
That's
there.
It. And then also at the very end of this chapter, it says, when he asked him, do you want to go as well? He also answered to them when Peter said, where else would we go? I mean, we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One. And then Jesus said to him, did I not choose the 12? And yet one of you is a devil.
Right.
Yes.
He already knew in that moment. He mm-hmm. already knew. The Bible says that he knew. So when we're looking at deception, I don't like to look at the deception. I like to look at the truth of the Word of God, because deception mm-hmm. is there. And so, especially when I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of, I mean, I was in a very fundamentally sound doctrine. There were some descriptions and stuff, some of it, mm-hmm. but if we're not looking at the truth, then we're cultivating deception. Mm. So we have to cultivate the truth in us and set with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes like when I'm out at the ocean, a lot of times I'm sitting talking to the Lord. I know I probably look crazy to passerbys because I'm sometimes, but it is this time of what is Holy Spirit saying to us, and to sit and listen to Him. I think we are so busy today that busyness can be a deception. It can be a distraction from those things that God has brought us to. We've got a lot of hard issues to talk about today, but the truth is, I hope everyone will remember that the truth of the Word of God is where we're going to take us back to. We are talking about a biblical response to the deceptions that we're seeing today in the news.
I'd just like to throw in editorial comment. You're right.
Please.
Tracking along
yes.
what you're saying, that's Holy Spirit led. And as we talk about this, my experience, at least I'll speak from my own experience as a pastor and working with people who are dealing with some of the issues that we're going to be talking about today, certainly issues that are in the world, they're of the world, challenging the church, believers, and they're being, you know, because deception is what it is, many people are just embracing these positions, these philosophies, these ideologies, whatever word you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
Often, I think, because other people are doing it and they want to be part of the crowd, but the whole crowd is clueless. Okay, because they don't know what God planned, God wants, God's will. They're not scripturally based, which is a big problem. And there are many Christians that are not scripturally based, right? It's just the way it is. I've known them. I used to be one myself.
It's called being biblically illiterate.
Biblically illiterate. I was,
which I'm guilty at times.
But when we talk about deception, it's not just people being deceived so that they embrace ungodly activities, but it's also Christians being deceived because they're not being told how to deal with that in a godly way, how to relate to these people in a godly way. Scripture tells us how to do that. But I add this as a disclaimer, because while you're listening to all this stuff, be thinking, you know, what is God telling me to do about dealing with the people that are involved and enmeshed in these issues of concern?
Right.
And yeah, their souls are in danger. We know that. But how does God want us to become a part of their lives so we can bring the message of salvation to them? Okay, having said that, back to you.
That's good. That puts us right into a couple of the issues that we were going to discuss today, which is throwing them out there, anti-Semitism, and then we've talking about the Pride Month.
Yeah.
Those are two really hard.
I wanted to go back to one thing because, you know, where once I was blind, now I see, and we see, we understand, we know God, you know, Jesus saved us, He died on the cross for us, and we know that, and we believe that. And the deception, what you were talking about before, you know, when Jesus asked the disciples, you know, are you guys going to leave also? Those people left the Lord after they went, there was no more bread for them to eat.
right.
So they were looking at the wrong thing. Their eyes were focused on the wrong thing. They were looking at the physical when Jesus is always talking about the spiritual. So we have to start, and that's where the deception is, because the deception is in the physical, and it's not in the spiritual. The spiritual deception is there because they're being led by the flesh.
It starts in the mind.
Right. It starts in the mind.
It truly does. And they were physically wanting food.
Right.
They stopped. But Jesus was speaking truth, and they didn't understand that
truth.
In
the spirit.
And so it was like, okay, well, this is, I'm done. I don't understand this. And so it makes no sense. And he was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood.
Right.
And I'm sure that was very foreign to any of them as far as what he was saying, because it was in the spirit. And so that was difficult for them to understand Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit hadn't been sent to encompass them
Well, don't forget, Peter said, you know, when Jesus asked Peter, you know, are you going to leave also? And Peter turns around and says, where would we go? You are the Messiah, right? You are the Christ.
Right.
This is, and so Jesus turns around and says, well, nobody showed you this except for the Father.
Right.
So the Father, he was there.
He
opened
working.
Peter up, right?
Absolutely.
He opened Peter up. And this is what Jesus is looking for.
That's it.
This is what Jesus is looking for. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? And Peter had, you know, I just got so excited. I really did, you know. So you know, Jesus, I think, was excited for Peter because the Father showed Peter that Jesus is the Christ, right? He's the Messiah. Where else is anybody going to go? And this is what we try to explain. And this is what Jesus tells us, right, in the Gospels, to go and preach the gospel. This is what we're supposed to be doing.
Okay, so I have a question for you. You said you get excited. So I get excited as well. And
right.
are there times when you think about being in that moment and putting yourself in front of Jesus in that moment, physically on the earth, and being one of those disciples? I can't even imagine what that would have been like, because there was a revelation. I know that God reveals things to me at times, and it excites me in the scripture,
right,
when he enlightens me in the word.
Right.
But when you realize that he's the one, that had to be something that blew their minds. Like, we can't even know what that feels like here and now. Do you ever do that? Am I just weird?
No.
Okay.
No, you're not weird. You're not weird. But, you know, we all go through our journey. Our journey is different. And if you don't know the Lord, there is a journey, and you have a relationship.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, you hold on for the ride.
Yeah.
You hold on for the ride. And there's a lot that goes on. But
I want everybody to know this.
Right. You shout from the rooftops.
Yes, I do.
I mean, I was over the top, and people would look at me like I was crazy. But
so we have to pull it back in. We have to rein it in, Keith.
You know,
got to rein it in.
And it's taken a while to do
me
that.
Me too, brother.
But now you're getting me excited. You know, you're getting me excited here.
It's fun.
It is. You know, yesterday I was out on the street sharing the gospel. Mm. And out of nowhere. This woman comes and just wants to give me a big hug for being out on the street sharing the Lord.
Mm. Wow.
Okay? And then she turns around and says, I just moved here. I'm so lonely. I just needed that hug.
Wow.
That's all. And she said, so she saw that Jesus, because I have a big sign that says, Jesus loves you, John 3:16, right?
And where do you do this?
Out on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down in
Delray.
Okay.
Yeah. Or Boynton Beach or Fort Lauderdale.
I knew that, but I wanted our listeners to know.
And South Florida.
If they see
South Florida,
out there.
Yes,
wherever God leads you.
Yeah. Wherever the Lord leads. And, she was somebody who was struggling, right, for a minute,
right?
And then the Lord presented himself to her right there and just gave her, she was just so happy. It changed her entire day. Mm.
And
it
isn't
was amazing.
It fun to be looking for those moments in our life? And those are the times
that's the presence of God.
When you know that God is real, because you're actually connecting with someone in a way that they need it in that moment. Maybe
right.
a smile.
Right.
It may be a hug. It may be the word of God literally being spoken.
Right. It's how you're looking for the Lord.
Right.
It's how you're looking for him.
And it's bringing truth right into the lives of living people, many of whom are struggling with a lot of deception.
Yep. Right.
You know, in there. We have about a minute before a break. So
where does the time go?
Well, I know.
No, I mean, where does the time go?
To our listeners, let me say a couple. You've been able to participate in a very rich preamble to a more focused discussion of the news items we're going to get back to after the break. But you may want to call and ask a question or make a comment. And the number to do that is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. You may also not know that this program, as well as many others, is on demand, available on our website, wcno.com. And if you get to the homepage, if you go online, you're going to get to the homepage. If you go to wcno.com, On the very top of the page, left of center, is a blue button. Now, there's three blue buttons, but this one is left of center, and it says archives / on demand. That's the one you want to click on. You'll get the day, whatever day it is you're doing it, you'll get that day's programs as they have been played, if they're done. Like, this program's done at noon. The content of this program is going to eventually, in a few minutes, go on demand. If you want to check out the other programs that we have that do go on demand, which all of our live programs do and some of the canned programs, pick a date. It'll give you a calendar. Pick a date. Click on that. It'll give you that whole day's programs, and you can listen. But anyway, because some people are saying, I was driving, I couldn't listen to the whole thing. Well, you can go on our website and do that. And again, WCNO.com. And again, if you want to call, 772-221-1100. Let's take a little break.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. And welcome back to A Biblical Response. And we're going to jump into a couple things that have been in the news. One, which area, the area of anti-Semitism, which we have covered before. But if you've watched the news recently, this has been a couple of, or maybe more than a couple, issues and incidents involving anti-Jewish sentiment. And so I'm going to turn this back over to my erstwhile companions here on the air.
Yeah, that's a good
erudite, yeah. Proclaimers of the truth of God.
That's a good way of putting it, David. It's back in the news, you know. Just keeps coming back and popping its ugly head up into it. And one of the things that occurred this past Sunday, one of the two things that really were major news, one of the things was where these people, these pro-Israel protesters were out there. They've been out there every week for a year, and they're over in Colorado. And they're protesting because for the release of the hostages since October 23rd, or since October 7th, 2023. So they don't want those hostages to be forgotten about. They want those hostages to be remembered. And this is what they're out there protesting for. So it's basically, it's a peaceful walk just for people to remember about the hostages. And somebody came, pro-Palestinian, came and threw
gasoline. It was Molotov cocktails
at them. Seriously. And these were, you know, these are senior citizens, actually, that are out there. And one of them happens to be a survivor of the Holocaust. And she's in the hospital. I mean, a survivor of the Holocaust. And now she's getting the same treatment. What? 80 years later, 70 years later.
Yeah. I don't do math, but it's been
right? 80 years later. Yeah. So, I mean, look at this, right? Yeah. So, he said he was waiting for a year. He waited for a year to achieve this so that his daughter could graduate college, so that it wouldn't interfere.
Very premeditated.
Right, Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and that's what's in their heart, the premeditation. I mean, that's their heart, you know? And it's so hard when you turn around and the Lord says to love your enemies. You know, this is the difficulty because they're firebombing these people.
Yeah.
And it is a difficulty.
That's just to point out, one of the things Jesus says is Matthew 5, 43 through 44. You heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And that's particularly crucial to any time you have faced things like this, because we know, like, anti-Semitism, on top of a long list of inexplicable activities of hate, right? Hate at its very depth, at its most heinous expression, comes from the devil. When you see people, and especially with the Jew, you know, devil hates the Jews, and he also hates us because we're with the Jews. We are grafted.
He hates Imago Dei. He hates God.
Well, so. He hates God. So if you love God, he hates you.
Well,
And the we're character of that hate that's being mediated through people who are deceived. Yeah. Let's face it, honestly.
That's exactly what
did Jesus say about the people who put him on the cross? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
Right.
Okay. Same deal. Same thing. Now we see it. And people will say, "Oh my gosh, I can't understand how people can do that." Well, I'm glad to hear that, because if you can't understand it, you are not evil like that. But it is evil, and it's pure evil, and that's what's coming. That's what's happening.
Mm. Go ahead.
Because they don't understand that it is evil. See, and that's a religion for them, and the religion is complete hate and destruction. And what does the devil say? What did Jesus tell us? The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
So, you know, where is love? God is love, and they're being deceived, but you got to pray that their ears get opened, and that their heart gets touched, because it's the darkness of their heart that needs to be touched. So there's nothing that we can do except pray and ask the Lord to open it up for them, because eternity in hell is forever.
Yeah,
it's forever.
It's an interesting thing to think about. You know, one of the things, that scripture, to love your enemy, and to bring it back down to personal, like, we're here on the Treasure Coast, and, you know, we're not in Colorado dealing with that particular situation, but that scripture is for all of us. And so while you were talking, I was thinking about how I had some really hurtful things in my life, and I could have really, really hated the people that were doing these things. And I had to, this is a very practical way to take that scripture.
Right.
But I had to think about, who in my life do I quote unquote hate? And I was told when I was a little girl, hate is not something that you get to do. It is just not. So I didn't like people. So hate was a very strong word. And so this man hated. We're not sure exactly what he's hating, because these people weren't doing anything to him. But when someone does something to you personally and comes, find out who it is that you hate in your life, and then start asking God to give you a love for them that is only God can do.
Yes.
Because God has done that for me personally, given me a love because of exactly what you just said. Hell is real, and eternity is a long time, and I would not wish that on my worst enemy.
Right. Yes. Right.
I mean that with all my heart.
Right, right. That is condemnation.
And we've said this before. This has been one of my soapboxes, so I'll climb up on it.
I'm
for
not
a minute.
Perfect. Just let me tell you that right now. I am not perfect. That is not.
Well, I noticed.
I have my faults.
I noticed that.
Thank you, David. Thank you so much.
Hey, but only because I see it in myself, right?
I know, brother. It's
but
all good.
When we as believers go out into the world, and we will encounter people that are not serving God, and their lifestyle is abhorrent to God, and the scriptures tell us that, I'll underscore, because we're going to get in talking about Pride Month in a minute. But, and I've had conversations with gay folk when I was a pastor. And generally the conversations devolved into, I didn't come out to challenge them. It just happened to be on the table.
Sure.
And they wanted to know my response. And I said, well, I believe the scriptures shows us that that lifestyle is not something that blessed by God, and that in fact God is opposed to that kind of lifestyle because it separates people from Him, and it also participates in the deception of the devil. And I said, and I would then say, but God loves you, and I love you too. And they would say, how can you say that? How can you say you love me
when you disagree
obviously,
with me?
Yeah, exactly. But they would not just say disagree because they would say to me,
they hear hate.
You're expressing hate to me.
Yeah.
My response, and I encourage the listeners, my response is this: I said, if I hated you, I would never, in a moment, give you any inkling that there's a salvation possibility.
Right.
To you. I would want you.
That's
listen,
right.
Listen to this. If I hated you as much as some people hate Christians, I would want you to burn in hell forever if I really hated you. But here, I don't want that. I grieve for you in your current situation and your distance from
truth.
God.
You're trying to show truth.
I'm trying to give you the truth of
right.
God so you can. All right, so you can go to him and say, is he right? Is all this about you correct? And if so, I want what this guy has.
So
I want to be saved.
So the guy that was in Colorado,
yeah,
that, I mean, again, we put ourselves where Jesus walked, put ourselves in his shoes right now.
Right.
And where he is even in this day, did they arrest him?
Yeah, they arrested him. And you know, that's the extension of it all here.
Yeah.
Because it's not only the person that threw the Molotov cocktail at the protesters. Now what you have going on is you have the police from Colorado, which is it's a blue state.
Yes, sir.
Okay, it's a blue state. So what they're saying is, let's slow down on what this is, because the FBI immediately claimed it to be a
terrorist hate crime.
Yeah, yeah.
A terrorist hate crime. And now the news is trying to explain it as the FBI doesn't look good here, jumping to conclusions, and the police know what they're doing, just, you know, they want to take a step back and observe and see what's going on. But no, it's a hate crime. And the separation now, you see, and this is where the chain of events is, especially for those people, because you've got the guy throwing the Molotov cocktail, then you got the police, who, and then the judge probably let him off, right? This is all in a row of people that are being deceived. It's not just the person that threw the cocktail.
Yeah, kind of pulls everybody into one.
Right. And now the righteousness is trying to put it exactly and explain it exactly for what it is. It's anti-Semitism. It's a hate crime, and they're trying to explain it for what it is. And then people want to say that's wrong, when it's just got to be spoken.
Right.
And it's got to be said for what it is, and that's the truth. And this is what we're talking about when we go back to deception. Why do people want to be deceived and listen to the lies? Because the truth is the truth.
There is a sovereignty of God that flows through this as well. And we can't forget that piece, because he, in his creation, and did not make us sovereign.
Right.
And so that's the piece that frustrates me sometimes. I'm like, I want to know. I want to know why this is this way and why this person can't see. And so that frustrates me when evil is so prevalent and yet they can't see that they're being evil.
No, they can't.
Heart is deceptive.
Right.
You know, and so, so I am like you, David, and of course, Keith, but you brought it out with, you know, how do we get back to the place where we help people see the truth love?
No, yeah, Stephanie, that's a good question, because
we don't.
We have to pray it in because God is sovereign.
Yeah. Yes.
And when you see how God works, when you see God working in somebody's life, that
it's so fun.
No, it's so fun. It's, no, it is because, okay, so here's, you know, quick, for instance, and you know, I had, I have somebody working on a vehicle of mine, and I think we did, I might have told you guys, I don't know. So somebody, I've got an RV, it's a, you know, travel leisure, right? And we take it, and I get excited. I can't talk. And because it's God, right? It's God working.
We're grabbing at images that are coming to us through your description. We're getting it mostly.
We're trying.
You should
hard.
See his hands
we're
trying flying. Hard. His hands are flying here.
So, right. So this guy is he's putting some electric panels on my RV, so that now the RV can stay self sustained. I don't have to plug it into shore power. Really good. And the Lord, by the way, the Lord gave me that idea to do that, because I've always been against solar power. I've always been against it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. I just was. So the Lord told me to put this thing on the RV, right? I'm in a prayer group on Fridays, and one of the guys in the prayer group so happens to do solar power. Lord tells me, go to him, to have him put, okay, that's what we do. We get a price quote, okay? I get a price quote. I said, fine. He goes, okay, great. He does the job, and then he says, okay, all done. I paid him half up front for the supplies, and then I come back to him to give him the other half of the money. Now, when I give him the check, I give him the check and everything, and then the Lord puts it on my heart. See, this is so amazing. The Lord puts it on my heart to ask him if he was underpaid or if I overpaid him, because my job was the first job that he was doing. Because the Lord is now going to open the door for him to be able to go into this business of doing solar power for RVs. And he fell in love with it, right?
Wow.
So I asked him the question, and I said, did I underpay? And I don't want to use his name. Did I underpay you? Or I said, the Lord asked me to ask you, did I underpay you? Did you get underpaid because it was your first job and you didn't know? Or did I overpay you? You know, what was the scale here? He goes, you know, the Lord told me not to say a word, but I was underpaid.
Wow.
Whoa. The Lord told him not to say
but
anything.
But you were listening, weren't you?
And the Lord told me to ask him. This is what we're talking about here, right? God will talk to you. You have to get that.
Yeah, he does.
To understand that.
We have to be still, though, in the moment. And that's the part that is hard. And
well,
I think
we have
that,
to recognize his voice also.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
In the busyness of the day, that we have to recognize his voice.
Yes, it is. And that's the distractions. We've talked about that. So back to this guy in Colorado.
Right. Right.
He from solar power to,
but
to
see,
Colorado.
But right, we're going back to why this is. We have to pray for him.
Right.
Because God
and
will
people
open,
like him.
God, yeah, God will answer that prayer.
He will answer that prayer.
That's, yes.
And and he will answer it in his will.
Right, in his way, and in his timing.
And he may not bring that man to a salvation story, but we grieve
pray
that.
For him.
And we grieve that, yeah. We grieve when we don't know. And that's another thing. We don't know a person's heart. Now, I'm not talking about that man because I won't go there, but even people in our own circle of influence, we don't always know their heart. And so they may do something that looks ill-intentioned to us, but we still have to, you know, can't judge their hearts. We can judge their actions. And so we come around them and love them, just like you were talking about, you know, the person we're going to talk in after the next break about the Gay Pride Month and stuff. But to kind of put an end cap on where we are right now is this anti-Semitism is really against God. All of it is against, when someone comes at us with hate or with deception, it is all against a holy God. It may be looking like it's against us, but it's really against what we believe and who we believe in.
Amen.
And so that would be my prayer today, that you know, that this thing in Colorado, have we heard how the woman is?
No, she's in the hospital. There's, I think, 8 people that are still in the hospital.
My goodness.
Right, yeah.
And it didn't stop there on Sunday. It didn't stop there because MIT had their graduation. And MIT, I don't know, maybe it was a valedictorian. I'm not sure. but and I saw this on the news, that she was speaking pro-Palestine and talking hate against Israel, and the Israelis from the graduation of MIT, whoever was Jewish in MIT for graduating, got up and walked out of the graduation ceremony.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, where does she get off to come in and you know, argue her point for a graduation that involves everybody and to make it her personal day?
So that's a good point into this. I have a friend, Margie, that just sent this to me, and it's really good. It says, self-deception is the worst deception. Mm-hmm. For when someone deceives themselves, they ultimately deceive others. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to be careful of, that we are living, breathing, walking billboards
right.
for who Christ is,
right.
and we want people to see him and know him. And so when we're deceived, if we're not listening and we're deceived and not reading the Word of God like we should be, and we can be deceived,
staying close to the Lord.
Staying right. close to the Lord, because then God will permeate our life with truth and hope and love for him.
That's
and that's
right.
We can give that to others.
And, you know, it's because it's the voice. Proverbs 18, verse 21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yep.
Yes. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And look what her tongue is saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. she's speaking death out of her tongue. And the Jewish people, the Jewish congregation of the MIT graduation got up and left and just walked out.
Mm. We're going to take a break. We'll be back, and we'll have another 20 minutes or maybe a little bit less to deal with Pride Month. 772-221-1100 if you want to call in a comment or a question. 772-221-1100.
There is not.
And welcome back. We have returned, and hope you enjoyed that little break there. We all took advantage of it. So we have about 15, 13, 14 minutes, something like that, before we have to close. So I'm just going to remind you, you can call 772-221-1100. That's the number of the station. Someone will be there to answer your call and patch you into the studio, 772-221-1100. Well, where shall we go from here?
Well, we're going to kind of switch up the deception part here. Not the deception part, but we're going to switch up what kind of deception we're looking at today.
More deception.
Yeah, more deception. So June is...
Was.
Was, yeah.
We're Let's trying, go to was.
Trying to take it back here.
Let's go to was.
Yeah. Has been in the past, I don't know, hailed, I guess, as the LGBTQ NRTCK, I don't know what they call it. Sorry, I don't follow all of that. Pride Month, that's what they call it. And it's very disheartening to know that our months of our year have been given over to such a deceptive thing. And it's such a simple command of God to be fruitful and multiply, and Pride Month does not give glory to God at all. And I don't know how many remember, but Roe was turned over in this month in 2022. Mm-hmm. And that actually was something that put a stake in the ground for me, because God was telling me that it was time to really stand up and fight the abortion issue mm-hmm. in my own personal life. And so you think, well, how does that deal with the pride issue? Well, it's the enemy trying to kill the imago Dei before it ever takes a breath. And so then if he can't do that, then he tries to deceive the children, and he deceives men to think that they're women and women to think that they're men, and just to mess up the whole process that God put into place in the beginning. And so one of the things that has happened in the past administration with Biden, and I think it was really heavy with Biden's administration, was that the FBI would acknowledge this month as being Pride Month. And I'm just going to read this from the an article here. It says, for the first time in several years, the Federal Bureau of Investigation will not celebrate the month of June as LGBTQ plus Pride Month. The FBI leadership on Thursday informed all employees that there will be no official recognition of the sexually perverted festivities this year, and warned employees not to engage in pride-related activities on FBI time. I want to take the opportunity, this is in quotes, I want to take the opportunity to make FBI leadership's expectations clear. There should be no official FBI action, events, or messaging regarding Pride Month, wrote FBI Assistant Director Public Affairs Ben Williamson in an email to the Bureau's assistant directors in charge and special agents. Williamson said the directive is meant to ensure that the, quote, American people see we are focused only on our core mission. And I applaud that. I think that this has been inserted in places that does not need to be inserted. I mean, obviously anywhere, but especially into our government, that they are actually recognizing it in the past, that this is that month. So anyway, they don't recognize much of anything. The FBI, that is not their job. And so to bring it back to where they are delivering their job and doing their job, which is to protect and to, you know, that's important. Of course, I would say that the breakdown of the family is something that needs to be protected too.
Right.
But so anyway, and when it's perpetrated against children, that's part of their job as well. So this is actually protecting the children in a roundabout way by right. just saying we're getting back to what we are our core
values
right. are.
Right. Godly values.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and the schools are a sphere of influence, right? Because the mind is so accessible at that age, and these people. I don't want to say these people because it's not. It's evil, but they're bringing
the deception.
The deception, right? The deception is trying to bring this into kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and this is what they're talking about. And it's just it's an evil and a wicked thing, and it goes against everything that God created, because it tells us in Scripture, God created man and woman. Right. To be unified as one. And that is one of the mysteries of God. So for them to deliberately go against it. And what are they doing now? They're trying to promote. They're trying to promote the evil. What do you got there? You got they're selling shirts online. Right. Mm-hmm. And what did you have? You had there a picture.
Yeah. David sent us a picture yesterday that it sent chills up my spine when I saw it, because
this is pure evil.
It was a T-shirt that is being sold.
Right.
And when I looked at it, it had an upside-down rainbow that was actually behind someone. So it made it look, it was an evil-looking creature.
And with big horns.
And it
looked
demonic.
Demonic appearance.
But it looked like it had wings. And the upside-down rainbow was the wings. And I thought, Lord, what? This is not just deception. It is the epitome of evil when we are taking the things that God has created and, excuse my terminology here, but bastardizes them to the point where, somebody walking down the street wearing that, you may not think too much about it, but it's affecting people.
Absolutely.
It affects. Yeah.
And, there was an article in the New York Post. I get the Post from New York delivered to the house on the weekends, and one of the pages in there, one of the articles in the Post over the weekend, I don't have it now because my wife mailed the papers to her mother, and I couldn't find it. but it was such an article. Because the Post, it actually wrote what the intentions were from this T-shirt, that they are intentionally going against the Word of God and being defiant is what it's saying against the Lord. So it's no longer a deception. It's just an ill intent.
And they use the word they. People use the word love so flippantly. And, like in United States, we don't have the depth of what the Bible talks about as love. And so, we think I can love a Snickers bar, I can love this. And love does not mean the same thing that God showed in his word. And if we don't have the love of God correct, all other loves, they are compromised. Mm-hmm. And so...
The deception, and that's good because the deception, you have the LGBTQ churches, right?
Mm-hmm.
A complete deception because they're talking about love and that God loves everybody and that's how God created them. No, God did not create them like that. And that is the deception that they think that love, they don't come to the truth that they're sinning against God because this is not the will of God. What they're saying is they're sharing love. But it's a false love. It's a false love. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, it's as you're talking, I go back and think about the things that I have done in my past, and obviously I've talked about this a lot on the radio, about my two abortions, and it is something that people have looked at me and go, "How could you? How could you?" And I stop and I think, how could I, and I could put that shame right back on myself if it really closely could come back on me real, real heavy. But for the love of God, that he died on the cross for those sins. And I know that this is hard because we want so bad for these people to not be deceived. We want them to not see or not teach these children. And it looks so evil when we're watching it happen in the libraries or in the schools or wherever it's being perpetrated. And it's just the hearts of men are so deceived.
Right.
I got to throw in here because I continue to remind people, you know, that the church has a role either to bring the truth of God to the world or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we sometimes have not. When I was, and I won't mention the denomination, but I was in a denomination for almost 25 years serving as an ordained person. And I began to see that denomination as a whole beginning to edit out when Scripture talks what is true, editing that out to push basically what now we'd call a woke agenda. But Paul, I love Paul. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he cut to the chase right away. All of his writings are full of God's truth. But I go to Ephesians here. It's chapter 4, and it starts in verse 15. And he's doing a teaching on discipleship, how the church should address everything that presents from God to the world. And it's verse 15 says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way in him, into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." But this verse, that's verse 15 through 16, right? The verse is, but here's the key, speaking the truth in love.
In love.
Okay, you got to have love, but you got to have truth. Now, so when you get to the particular issue of what we're looking at in Pride Month and the homosexuality issue and all that goes linked with that, God's truth says that those lifestyles are literally abhorrent to him.
Right.
Because you're living a life, a chosen life of sin. But the love, says, but God loves you, wants to save you, wants to restore you, transform you back to be the person he intended you to be, not to be living a lie, a life. But the church that I was in, anyway, the denomination, a major denomination, mainline denomination in America, decided not to tell the truth. And we were even, I remember, from the judicatory, right, which is the larger body of leadership that makes the rules and everything, made it very clear that they didn't want us challenging sin, basically, because we might offend people. Well, hey, yeah, if you hear...
The gospel is offensive,
right.
Guys.
It's offensive. Right.
It is going against
is that speaking the truth in love, that verse should be our guiding principle as believers when we encounter people to clear their lifestyle is opposed to God's plan.
You know, Stephanie, you were just saying that, you know, you could put that shame back up on yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? But, you know, one thing you have to remember is that you've been delivered,
Amen.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You've been
Amen.
Delivered. So the Lord has rescued you. And this scripture comes to mind for anybody out there. And this is what the Lord tells us as well. And this is why we stay in the Word, because the Lord tells you, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me," and this is Jesus talking, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel," and this is Luke 4:18, "to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Mm.
Yeah.
So and that's who Jesus is.
Yeah.
He's come to deliver you from the chains that you're bound up in.
And can I add? I want to add this. We're getting close to the end of the hour.
We got 1 minute.
But as we're getting ready to close, one of the things that I'd like to tell the audience: remember that there's a transformation that happens, and it's precept upon precept, line upon line.
It's not overnight.
Which means that we are on a journey.
Right.
And we have, you know, once we do see truth, hold on to that truth. Don't let go of that truth and continue in the way, persevering for the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, just exactly how we started this this whole hour, that we know that we one day will see him face to face. What a wonderful day that will be.
Right. Amen. And can I pray us out in Psalm 67?
No, I'm sorry, we have no time. We have to say goodbye.
We should like to pray.
Yeah, I know. We love to pray. We should pray. But anyway, listen, come back next week.
God bless.
God bless. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David.